punters. Welcome to The Money Men. My name is Julian Valance, joined not always by Benny Clifton. New person on the desk. Exciting to have you here, Paddy Garshagan. Look, you look after the SEN races on Saturday. Odds Couple, 8 a.m. SEN Radio as well. Good to have you on board.
Thank you, Jules. You had to go off script there. Normally, Benny Clifton's here. I'm hearing maybe a bit of suspect Twitter work is the reason he might not be here, but I'm here. Big day racing on Saturday. Three group ones. I think we've seen, the futurity, seeing Arcadia Queen come out of that. I think she's going to be very, very hard to beat in the All-Star Mile, but can't wait to get stuck into it and talk some turkey with you, Jules.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It was a great race card, no doubting that, with the three group ones, as you mentioned, Paddy. Look, let's talk about the track to begin with. Thanks to Vince Arcadi for sending through the times. We put them into our database. True position the entire circuit. Good four upgraded to a good three after race six. That 15 to 25 kilometre southwesterly wind, which we spoke of. I'll just ask you, Paddy, to begin with, how did you think the track will play, and then I'll have my 2 cents worth.
There's no doubt that something was off with the rail and that it was pretty ordinary on the inside of the track, but I actually enjoyed seeing some of these horses be able to come from the back, and I didn't mind that. I like watching races that way, and that's what I was able to see at Caulfield. It wasn't a leader bias track by any stretch of the imagination, but as I said, no doubt the inside was cactus, and I'm sure you're going to get stuck into that.
Yeah, well, look, it's so hard. It's an outdoor sport, and this is the tricky thing. Lanes one and two clearly off, poison. I mean, you see the second leader, Luke Nolan, who leads Oxley Road, comes out to four off the rails immediately. So we knew that, and I think there's a little bit in this. So punting tip to begin with is just on our times, we had it as probably a genuine good four. I know they upgraded after race six, but we had it as a genuine good four all the way through, close to a soft five or a dead in the old, as we call it. And the other thing that about that is, look, 50 mils of irrigation throughout the week, 5 mils on Saturday morning, and obviously it was really windy Thursday and Friday, so obviously the rain or the water that they put on just didn't go evenly across the track. Now, on Orr Stakes Day 3 weeks ago, Jason Kerr put 10 mils on the track Saturday morning as well. So I don't think that's the issue in terms of the water going on the track in the morning. It's just the distribution doesn't work out. Now, look, in terms of racing, I love hard, fast tracks. I would love them to be fast too, because that's usually where the money can go, and they race pretty fair. I will say I think the races just about went to order, but I don't think it's a great look what happened on Saturday.
Can they chuck the rail out a couple of metres as a last-minute sort of thing to do on
I think
leading up?
Yeah, I think in a thing with integrity and stuff like that, I don't think that's ideal. And in saying that, here's the other thing that's really important is that, and I'm not peeing in the pocket of the show Insider Trading, but on Saturday morning we have the track walker information, and our track walker said lanes one and two were off. It was clearly a rating inferior. If anyone's punting at Caulfield or anywhere, they need to be watching that show, because that information was there for everyone to see. It's free-to-air TV, and you get the opportunity to understand, okay, this is how the track was going to play. You still got to find the winners, but I implore all people to watch that show just for that track walker information, because it really does set up your day for punting. So
we saw a few in the Blue Diamond alone. General Bow got into $5 and then drifted like the gadding ball and went straight out to $11 because of that inside rail.
Absolutely. And clearly,
didn't want it.
Yeah, clearly when there is a bias or an issue, we know the big players will move the market to suit their style. Let's get into race one here, Paddy. Half a second inside standard time, 23.22 last 400, 11.98 last 200. They've just gone even here, but Defibrillate just keeps on winning. It's now four in a row. Yes, the start prior, he did dead heat with Hangman. But, yeah, he just keeps winning, Paddy.
So, super ride by Billy Egan as well. Yeah. And I think at the 800, the ghost of the dead heat from last start said, hang on, let's get going on this horse right now. And he did exactly that, got the horse into the race, came over the top of them and went, thank you very much, we'll take the win. Hangman there boxed on for third, I believe.
Yep.
But, yeah, Defibrillate, too good. Market found him into $2.30-ish late. So, super win from Defibrillate. Did he go Mornington Cup now? And now can he feature in these?
Well, I think they're going to have a crack in the Australia Cup. Yeah. So sort of that 2,000 metres may be his go. So we'll see him in a couple of weeks in the Australia Cup. Just from the market perspective, you touched on it. Defib, 280 into 230, just got a little bit soft, $2.50, but heavily supported throughout the day. Aussie Nugget, 650 into $5.50, first go 2,000 metres. Was okay, I thought, without being outstanding. Wolf was the big hole in the market, which we identified again on Insider Trading. $3.60 out to $5.50, runs unplaced. I'll mention the second horse, San Huberto. This is a horse that was off 98 days, wet track form, obviously, in the UK. I think it won a 3,000 metre Group 2 race over there on a soft track. He'd be maybe a sneaky chance for the Sydney Cup. Don't know where they're going to go. That was a run to suggest to me he could be a player in the Sydney Cup. He's around $26. Yeah. I could have something on him there at
it
that
It wasn't
price.
Terrible. He was eating into that length margin in the last 50 metres, that's for sure. Yep. Just quickly on Wolf, you said the price was wrong on 3 wide, no cover, and the market absolutely had no love for Wolf. 330, I think, out to 550 and ran accordingly.
Broken clock's right once a day, Paddy, so we got that one right. But, yeah, I just identified that he was probably a horse that was going to drift, and he did. So I don't know where they go with that horse. Race 2, equal to standard time. They didn't go overly fast here. In fact, the first 600 metres was 1 second slower than the Blue Diamond, which we'll get to later. 22.98 last 400, 11.78. Best last 200, as you can see, identified there in the yellow. Pete Moody trains this horse, Oxley Road. Only had the one win going into it, one on debut at Flemington, where it came home best last 400, 200 of the day. P. Moody, 12 from his last 37, going at 32%, smashing market expectation of 20%. You just got to bear with P. Moody at the moment.
Fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And here we identified, as you mentioned it, that this rail was off because Oxley Road, Luke stayed way out there, heavily supported, $3.40 into $2.40. They knew here the big guys wanted to be involved with this horse. It wins the race.
Jump lead win. As simple as that. And like Peter Moody's aiming for the stars, I think, with this horse. I think he wants to take it up either to the Galaxy or maybe the William Reid. Two wins and already aiming for the stars for a young up-and-comer.
Yeah, and the key is probably can only now boost its value because he's got the black type out of the way by winning a Group 1, so why not have a crack at it? It's our time. It was coming off that brutally run race back 200 metres behind Poland, 2.30 out to $3.80. We get a vibe from this. All these races coming out of this Poland race, I think the market's taking a set against them.
It tracked up Oxley Road and looked could have been out of strike there, and it just couldn't quite quicken as Oxley Road could.
And that was its fourth run in its first prep. So it's done a really good job. Maybe goes to the paddock now, I think you would think, for It's Our Time, but it's done a really good job at this prep. Race 3, a third of a second outside standard time here. Slowly run race here, Paddy. 23.24 last 400, 11.94, which is only really okay when they haven't really gone fast out early. Hasn't rated great this race. There's a bit in this. Yes, Baby Yes wins the race, and it had two runs this prep where it couldn't get sighted. But Jamie Carr, obviously they got this horse fit enough because we'd seen when it went to a break at Moonee Valley, they went forward. They go forward again. They probably get away with it. You can see there through the line, the fourth horse there,
Impecunious.
Impecunious.
That's what you want to say.
Impecunious. Unlucky, probably should have won the race.
Yeah, probably just, I think about the 250, she looked like she lost a stride of momentum, and you can't go over horses, and they sort of bunched up towards the end. Now, Yes Baby Yes was lucky to get the bob in, I thought, but yeah, Impecunious, a little bit disappointing, half a length off the big prize.
Yeah, and I don't know, we sort of talk about it, you know, should Bossy have tried to got the outside, but you're right, you can't jump them. I just don't know where, you know, could he have tried to find a gap earlier? It was hard to swallow if you were with Impecunious. I will also say it's got a really good race in it, Impecunious. It's going to win a really hot race at some stage. Wouldn't be dropping off it. But I will also say I wouldn't want to be taking real shorts about it because it's coming out of a pretty poor rating race. So just be careful about that horse going forward.
What about some of those other horses in the race? Miss Guggenheim, Chica Fuerte, just victims of the slow tempo?
Probably, but I'm worried about them as well. I think these are a rating one or two below our good mare. So I don't know about them all going forward. I think as a race, it's poor, and I think the market will be against it going forward. Race 4, again, half a second outside standard time. They've gone fairly slow here. 23.10, 11.90, last 400, last 200. Southern Reward went forward. You've got a Perfect Jewel. I was going to say Arcadia Queen, but it was a stablemate. Perfect Jewel settling forward. So I love that from Willie Pike. I thought he was very aggressive on a lot of his rides on Saturday, Willie Pike, which we love with our jockeys. But Rich Hips now went out a winner. Its last win was a win, then went to a prep, went to a break. And, geez, we love it. I know these horses. Once they go out a winner, they come back a winner. And Rich Hips, $6.50 into $4. The market really identified with this horse. They wanted Rich Hips, mainly because they were hard against Perfect Jewel. $1.90 out to $2.25 Saturday morning, $2.25 out to $3.50.
Friendless.
Was friendless. Ran really well.
I was happy to take the 350 Perfect Jewel. When I saw that, I was happy to take it. And as you said, Pikey being riding the horse more forward, got it into a good position, and I thought was going to kick away and be able to hold off Rich Hips, but not quite. Sovereign Award was followed up like a deck of cards in the last 50 metres as well. It was a little bit disappointing. But no, all credit to Rich Hips. They certainly knew $6.50 into $4 and won accordingly.
Yeah. Sovereign Award's an interesting one you bring up there because it runs fifth, $9 into $6, and because the gap was with Perfect Jewel there, they were happy to load into a few of them. It was only second up, but I'm worried about it now for this whole prep. Sometimes, look, it might now get fitness and be ready to go third up, but I'm a little bit worried. Lunacorn, $8 into $5.50. Other horse they back runs third. I thought didn't have a lot of luck. Look, she's not. She's a superstar, Jamie Carr. There's no doubting that, but it doesn't mean you're immune from criticism. It didn't work out for her. She's a little bit like Impecunious. She just couldn't jump them, but... yeah, it just didn't work out for Jamie in that race. I don't think that was one of her best, but in saying that, she just got into an awkward spot and it didn't work out. But we're not here to just...
She's not going
to
feature in Treasure this week.
No, she won't be in Treasure this week. It'll be a surprise, 1 out of 3,000 weeks that we've done it. but other than that, I don't know about the race either going forward, Patty. Well,
what about, just back to Rich Hips, what's the target for this horse?
Yeah, I'm unsure what they're going to do with it. So, look, that's a pretty good win for it there to win that race.
Is that enough to prick the ears up of the All-Star Mile wildcard entries and go, all right, you get a wild card. Is it enough?
Well, we've only got four. The winner of the Blamey gets one. You usually think the winner of the Australian Guineas gets one. I doubt it. And off that win, as much as the win was good, I don't think it'd be figuring in the first five in an All-Star Mile. Race 5, 1 second inside standard time. Plenty of speed in this race, Paddy. 24.10 last 400, 12.44 last 200. So identified in red there on your screen, last 400 and 200 were the worst of the day, but they did go out pretty quick here. And again, well, the first point here is Quay Quay back there, you can see finishing off third, was first up 1,800 metres. It had two goes first up before over 1,200 metres, 0-0-0, but 1,800 metres was here to rock and roll. 370 into 350 Saturday morning, 350 into 220, heavily supported. Young Verda, 370 out to $5.50. It was out of that Poland race. Market wants to take it on. Fifth for it. I'm worried about it going forward. Perure wins the race at $7.50. Butter Chicken, very good, $5.50. Look, they've ran okay time on the clock. Okay, I'm worried about them going forward.
If I backed Quay Quay on the weekend, I'd be very disappointed. Loomed at the top of the straight.
Yep.
Perfect position just about, and could not put the race to bed by any stretch of the imagination, and runs a disappointing third. And another horse, which I'm just curious about, is Young Verda. Like, he resumed over 1,400 metres. That was 1,800 metres. Like, he clearly wants over 2,000 metres. It was better on Saturday than the first up performance, but I'm just like, there's just, the jury's out on him. Can he feature in one of these, in these derbies over the...
I don't know who's going to be up against, but I'm a bit worried about it, the whole prep. Having a third race start in a VRC derby, it's a big ask. It's a hard race.
Will the O'Brien camp continue to set him for those?
I think they will.
SA,
I think they'll
derby,
keep going.
Queensland.
I think they'll keep going through this prep, and then they'll see where they go, and then maybe they'll work it out for the spring maybe for him. But in terms of Quay Quay, I'll just quickly say that probably wasn't the perfect race shape for a horse first up. Just that they did bust along pretty quickly. Might take plenty of improvement, but we'll need to be a player in any of these good races. We'll be back after the break to dissect the last four races, including three Group 1s. Back with Money Men. We are dissecting Blue Diamond Day here at Caulfield. Obviously, the inside lanes 1 and 2 were poison, Paddy. Let's get into the Futurity Stakes. First of the Group 1s, this was an absolute ripper, and they've gone out at a pretty good clip. 23.54 last 400, 11.86 last 200. Very good compared to the rest of the day, as it should be with these top quality horses. Probabil, she was 370 into $2.70 when she won first up, carrying 60 kilos against the mares. She backed it right up here. She had a tricky gate, didn't matter. 360 out to $4.20, $4.20 back into $3.50. She is a ripper.
She is a gun. Absolutely. I was hammer and tongs Behemoth or Probabil the whole time. I sided the way with Behemoth. And look, I'm not throwing the toys out of the cot with Behemoth yet with the All-Star Mile. I think they went out at a pretty decent clip. He did all right to stick on to run fourth, I think. And he was as fat as mud the other day when he was in Adelaide. And I think he's going to improve and be fitter. 1,600 metres may be a concern in the All-Star Mile, but I think he can still produce something impressive. The one who I want to take out of it is clearly Arcadia Queen, who... I think Connection's already checking the weather report right now, seeing if it's going to be a good three at Flemington on at Mooney Valley on All Star Mile Day. If she gets a good surface, I just can't see her losing that race in the All Star Mile.
She's very good, but she's going to have to get past a very good one, because Probabil back to 1,600 metres third up, where she won an Epsom in the spring. So you can't really knock Probabil as well. But they're the two you want to take out of from a market perspective. Arcadia Queen, the market was telling us she was ready to go. $7 into $4.60. She was very soft when she was first up in the spring, when she had some issues, when she ran behind Savatiano 5 out to 6. So the market was telling us she was there to play. Behemoth, $3.30, got into $3 Saturday morning, then just got soft out to $3.40. Ole Kirk, $7.50 out to $9. Don't know where they go with the three-year-old now. Yeah,
what have you take? What do you take out of that Ole Kirk?
Yeah, don't know. Disappointing, really. So I don't know what they do. I'm assuming they're not going to back up into the Australian Guineas. So tricky one, but they'll work it out. Team Hawks, they're a very, very good camp. But yeah, probably I just thought just sensational. Not much else you can add, but they're the top two.
Jamie Richards has said on record that her best distance is 1600 metres as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's no doubt. I think they've set it for the All-Star Mile, and she's going to be third up going into it.
The All-Star Mile is going to be a...
She ain't going to go backwards, that's for sure.
Right. We know that.
Yep, absolutely. Race 7, it was the Diamond. There's a bit in this one, Paddy. A second inside standard time. So they've gone out at a really good clip. 23.76 last 400, 12.18 last 200, plain last 400, 200. And, well,
Enthar
went out very quickly. We can add that. I don't know what to make of this race. If I was to put it to this race and go, okay, we're going to look into the slipper, I don't think there's any horses coming out of here that can be players in the slipper. I don't think it's a really good rating race overall. But I will say Artorias was outstanding.
Super.
And I think he's going to continue improving when he becomes even maybe a three-year-old.
The interesting thing with Artorias is this is a horse which... didn't win its maiden. It came second in its maiden at Geelong, then went to 1,300 metres at Sanya and gave the field there a licking. Comes back to 1,200 metres and smacks them here. So I know the camp rate this horse over a higher distance and now it's come out and won a blue diamond. So interesting to see where they go with it. It was a super win. I loved seeing a horse come from over the top of the field and win the race. Enthar, I thought this was a danger of happening. She's had two pretty soft races, two soft wins. The pressure's on in a two-year-old classic. And she just couldn't do it when the pressure was there and she folded in the last 100 metres and that was that. So, cracking win. I couldn't have had more money on Ingratiating in the 200 metres. I thought the market found him as well into $8 late. And if it wasn't for Artorias to pounce, as Matty Hill said, Ingratiating and Pikey would have been another Group 1 winner.
He was very close to having a massive day, Pikey. He had a very good day, but he was very close to having a monster day.
He was second, and a dead heat first. But yeah.
Enthar, you mentioned her. So, bit of a punting tip here, just in terms of the market. Now, there was the huge talk about Enthar, obviously, that, you know, she had to do the vet test and all this sort of thing. In terms of the market, 220 before the barrier draw, goes to 230 with us at Sportsbet after the barrier draw. Then, with all that noise, gets to $2.90. Then, when the real stuff starts and we're close to the betting, the big guys that move the market smacked back into $2.40. They just don't. We speak about it a lot. The big guys that move the market do not watch TV, do not listen to the radio in terms of how they voice or how they're going to, you know, structure up their plays with their money. It just doesn't have any impact on them. All they're purely doing it off is times and their speed maps. That's why Enthar firmed right back into that $2.40 mark. You're right. She went hard, but it didn't work out for her. Don't know where she ends up now.
If Enthar was lame and things like this was true, does she start $4 or $5 almost?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubting with that. They would have looked at her in the yard, and if they identified any issue, she would have been $4 plus. She was as good as she could be on the day, and she just wasn't good enough. You're right, Ingratiating, 12 into $8.50 on the quick 7-day backup. They worked out the blinkers went on for it two starts ago, just missed. Race 8, the Oakley Plate, half a second inside standard time, Paddy, 22.90, which was the best last 400 of the day, 11.84, not a bad last 200. Now, they're right across the track here. You would have loved seeing this if you like horses coming from everywhere, Paddy, because this was, to the eye, you look at it and go, well, this is a great race.
Superb.
But when you rate the race and look at it, they've gone probably below average. That's what happens when you get a dead heat and then so many close together. What do you take out of the race?
Was Celebrity Queen's win up on the... I know she's in the third lane there, but she's had to come on the inferior part of the track and get up. Does that make it a bigger tick for her?
I don't think so, because I think she came to an okay part of the track. I don't think she was in those lanes one or two, which we identified was obviously not the place to be. Still a huge performance. I mean, you look at that horse 20 metres past the post, it's probably three lengths in front of the other winner, Portland Sky. So
on the line, we've seen the great photo come out. Pikey is probably about a foot ahead of T.O. Nugent and is stretching every sinew of the horse to get it over there. Poor T.O. Nugent, first Group 1. Well, he's won the race, but
I don't think he'll be complaining.
Yeah, he would have thought he was home for all money. Portland Sky $15 into tens.
Yep. 3-year-old, which, you know, have had an okay record without being outstanding. Last year, Bivouac, you know, was a short price favourite, failed an encryption the year before with 50 kilos, ran second in it. Outside of that, I just want to identify a horse here called Dirty Work, Paddy. I just think with the way this track was playing, it got into an awkward spot. And I feel like it was a really unlucky runner, and I want to be with it wherever it goes next. Now, the rumour is that they probably go back up to Sydney for the Galaxy, which I think is a perfect race for it. So you don't go back up to wait for age. You keep it at the same distance, around that 1,100 metres, and it's probably going to be close to the minimum again up in Sydney. I think you can follow Dirty Work. Out of a race that I don't think is outstanding that I want to watch, I think Dirty Work is one you can follow with confidence.
I tend to agree. Can we put a line through Anders once and for all now?
I think so, yeah. It worries me. There's a few there that I'm worried about. Ancestry, I don't know where it fits either, so another one that I'm a bit concerned about. Last race, third of a second inside standard time. Peter Young, usually a pretty good platform race to the Australia Cup. Don't know about that this year. 23.40, 12.12, last 400, 200, just only mediocre. And here you've got a fit horse that had been up in the Gold Coast, had the 35 days, but did have residual fitness. And I'm talking of Parody down the bottom of the weights and it winning the race. Mm. What do you think?
I was nervous about Parody coming from the Gold Coast. Yes, the horse was super up there. One, I just thought, were they going to the well a few too many times with Parody? And the egg's on my face. The horse won really, really well. $6.50 into $5, won like a superstar. Shared ambition as well, was pretty rock solid around the $6 quote. Probably just wanted a little bit more speed in the run to be able to come over the top of him. Nonconformist was also a victim of the slow sleep, but Regal Power was one which was grossly disappointing.
Yeah, very worried about Regal Power going forward. First 1,000 metres, as you said, I think it was 2 seconds slower than race five, so they didn't go overly hard. Look, they're all going to probably meet in the Australia Cup. I think Shared Ambition has a really great platform, but I want to follow Steel Prince. I thought that was a run you can follow with confidence. It was first up. It looked like it needed plenty of... it was underdone.
It's sweaty.
I reckon, yeah, absolutely. I reckon you can get a price about it in the Australia Cup. I reckon on a dry track at Flemington where it's got a really good record, it might run a race for you because I don't think there's much between these, and if you're getting the option of $5 Shared Ambition and maybe triple that Steel Prince. Yeah. I think Steel Prince is just as good for that one.
He was 3 wide the trip as well in this race, and he's savaged the line pretty well there. So, yeah, keep an eye on Steel Prince for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. It's going to be a bit of a shout-out to Cliffo, I think. Back with the Money Men. Trash and Treasure time. A little bit different. We're throwing it out to the socials and our very own Benny Clifton. Well, he's been very... He's got a lot going on at the moment, Benny. Obviously, he's got the bub, but here's one from him. How about this one? Once or twice a year, Bossy rides an amazing race in a big one, shakes his head as he crosses the line, and everyone forgets about the previous 6 months of below par riding. From a punning perspective, he's near on unbackable in day-to-day racing. Okay, tell us what you really think, Cliffo. Just a bit of feedback from Cliffo for Cliffo here. We've just got a couple of responses. Heath Flower. Terrible tweet from an uneducated, you know what. And then Mark Smith, rubbish. Mark Smith clipped Cliffo as well the week prior about Tagaloa. Mark Smith mentioned that Tagaloa would win. Mark Smith's got you, Cliffo, right in the gun. But also Anth had some trash and treasure as well about Caulfield. He was worried about the bias 2 years in a row. Very different bias, but he's right there. He's right about the mares, though, Paddy.
Absolutely. 6 out of 8. And, yes, he does say the two of them are restricted to fillies and mares, but they are on fire, and some of them coming out, just follow them in their next races.
Yeah, absolutely. Arcadia Queen and obviously probably will be very hard to beat in the All-Star Mile. We'll be back next week to dissect the Australian Guineas. Thursday night, check out 3 Wide No Cover. It'll be on KO. And then Friday night, it'll be on RDC as well. Thanks very much for your time, Paddy.
Hey,
we'll be back next week.